Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 18 and the second verse. The 18th Psalm and verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. This psalm was penned by David when it says over the heading of the psalm, when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he could sing this psalm before his God. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when we can truly praise the Lord. Here he got something to praise the Lord for, hadn't he? The wonderful deliverance the Lord had given him. Not only on this occasion, but on many occasions past in his life. And he was enabled to write this beautiful word, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. You know, in all what he had to go through, it drew him away from himself, drew him away from all help of man, and it drew him to the Lord. And it drew real love out of the heart of David to his God. So he could truly say, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now let us bring it home to us each here. Can we, from the depths of our heart, say what's in this text, or even in the first verse? Maybe immediately those will say, well, I don't want to presume in it, but do you desire it, poor soul? I was thinking last evening when this text was with me, and of what one of the old preachers said, that Christ is precious in the want of him. And you think in your heart and mine this morning, do we truly want the Lord? Because if we do, he'll make himself precious to us. Well, as help, let us look a little into this text. What drew me to the word or directed me to it was the great need one feels the older we get to be found upon the rock, Christ Jesus, the sure foundation stone. Because, you know, when we come to the hour and article of death, and every one of us, from the youngest to the eldest, will have to come there. There are many things that you will look at in time and you're uncertain about them. But there's one thing that is certain with us all. We must all die. And we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what a wonderful favour. And we can never express it in words, really, to be found upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Because if we are, it'll be well with us while life endure, and it'll be well when we come to die. The thing, how solemn, if we are not on this rock. Christ Jesus. Well, dear David, he could begin the text with these words, "The Lord is my rock." He is my rock. He proved it, you see. In many great times of need, he could rest on that rock. Knowing that the rock, Christ Jesus, would never move. You know, if we're building our hopes on anything else, it'll fail. Many build their hopes on riches. But you see, they will never get us to heaven. You think of the solemn case in the Acts of the Apostles, where the man thought in that 8th chapter that he could purchase salvation with money. And what did dear Peter say? "Thy money perish with thee. Thou hast neither part nor lot in the matter." You know, the more we accumulate of things of time and rest on them, they all fail when we come to die. We shall have to leave them all. It's a sandy foundation, you see. The Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel spoke very solemnly of this, didn't he? Where he speaks of two types of character. He says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house," and then listen, "and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." You know, if we are the children of God, we shall have many storms to endure through life. They beat against the child of God. There's a roaring devil that will buffet them on every side. But he will never take them off this rock. for it was founded upon a rock. But then he speaks of the other side, of the other characters. And he that heareth and doeth not is like that man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, does it concern you and concern me which side we stand in this? Are we among those that dig deep? You see, in the Fen country, a friend of mine at one of the chapels there, he noticed one day that his house was developing great cracks in it, and he approached the insurance company about it, of subsidence. And they said to him, "You will have to have the whole house taken down and a new one built in its place." And so it was took down. And they said, "Now we've got to dig ever so deep to get a good foundation." And they used a mechanical bore to go down, and they could find, as like in the Fen country there is, underground rivers. And under this house was a river, flowing, been there for centuries, could have been there since the flood. But what they had to do was bore down 18 metres before they could get to anything solid. And so that house is built on firm pillars that go down very deep into the earth, that the building might stand and be safe. Now, how deep are you building, and how deep am I? It's a solemn thing, you know, if we've just got a shallow religion. There are many about like it, you know. What was the reason why the old saints, many that have been through this chapel and are now in glory, they went through flood and they went through fire. And what did it make them do? It made them dig deep to have a real religion. They had to go down to the rock, Christ Jesus. And that's what made them so stable and steadfast in the vital things of God. Let him dig deep. You know, I often think of that house in the Fens, you know, and our dear friends that live in it. You know, how far they had to go down to find a solid rock. And there's the stability. The original house, you see, had normal foundations like you would think would be satisfactory. But, you see, it didn't stand. And, you know, there's such a lesson in that, isn't it? The hymn writer said, "On this firm rock, believers build." So the first thing we need to prayerfully lay to heart this morning is this. What sort of foundation have you got to your religion, and what sort of foundation have I? Is it a foundation that God has given you? The rock, Christ Jesus. Or is it something you've manufactured yourself? I used the illustration earlier of wealth or pleasure or whatever it may be. It'll never stand when you come to the end. I don't want any to feel that I'm hard in this, because I'm not. It just greatly exercises me concerning my own soul. Where's your hope? Where's my hope this morning? We hope to sing at the close, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And the hymn writer, what did he say? "I dare not trust the sweetest frame." Now, you know, many of us have sweet frames, don't we? He said, "I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." What did the Lord Jesus say concerning Simon Peter? He said this, Peter, you say he was, we may say in some way, a rough diamond in the things of God, but the Lord wonderfully blessed that dear man, you know. And Jesus asked this question, "Whom say ye that I am?" When the Pharisees and Sadducees had questioned who he was. And he brought it right home to the disciples. Those that he had chosen. "You 12 have I chosen," he said, "and one of you is a devil." And he brings it right home to these dear disciples. And he says this, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said this, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then he brings it right home to them, and he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let me come low. Do you desire to be able to say that, child of God, this morning? Or can you say it? Or do you long to say it? "Thou art the Christ." And how could he say this, Peter? Because the Lord had revealed himself to Peter as the Son of God. And all Peter's hope and all his salvation was upon precious Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, and this is the word, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Upon this rock. Now you think of the future, your life, your things that concern you. You go to this blessed rock, Christ Jesus. He will never fail you. and your little hope will never fail if it's upon this rock. The sure foundation stone. He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Wonderful words, aren't they, really? Upon the rock, you see. But how shall we be found upon this rock? We cannot put ourselves there. No man can put us there. The Lord will put this desire in the heart of the child of God as he starts working in them and gives them life in their souls. Lord, may we be right for time and eternity. May we be upon this rock, Christ Jesus. That'll be your longing. And the Lord may use solemn means to bring us to put all our hope on the rock. Let me use the illustration of this. Here, take away all other foundations. You try and build on your false hopes. You try and build on promises that you've taken for yourself. The Lord hasn't given them. You try and build on the things of time, the pleasures of the earth. Or you try and build on natural religion. I remember my grandfather told me that his father, you know, was in such soul trouble and such need, he went to all sorts of denominations. He was brought up a Methodist, and he couldn't get anything under the Methodist ministry, and he went and tried all sorts of religions, but they never touched his case. Until he went to Adlerdown and heard Mr. Hallett. And under that ministry, the Lord stripped him from all false hopes, all vain promises. And the only place he could rest was upon Christ, the eternal rock. All other ground, you see, is sinking sand. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to live, and we think of your late beloved pastor. Sometimes his ministry was most searching and most discriminating, and you came out of the house of God, I've known what it is, and I thought, well, have I got any religion left at all? You start searching Jerusalem with candles to find whether there's anything real in you, don't you? We know in this solemn day many don't want a searching ministry, but you know, it's better to be searched here than to come to the end and be cast into the bottomless pit. Very solemn, you know, if we are not on this rock. Because hell will be our portion. The Lord is my rock, David says. And he proved it. The Lord had made himself known to him as the rock of his salvation. So, we need this good foundation. And the sinner can build their hopes on this rock. Why? You say you're going to have the storms, the tempests, aren't you? We think of what the Lord recorded in Isaiah of the blessed coming of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And I'll read it to you, what the Holy Spirit so spoke concerning the dear Redeemer. And a man shall be an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, some of you have been to the Rock of Ages, down near Cheddar Gorge, and you think of dear Mr. Toplady when he penned that beautiful hymn, Rock of Ages. You know, many sing it. I've been to funerals of people that there's been no hope of at all, and yet it's been sung. And, you know, that's a beautiful hymn. Because, well, where do you, dear Mr. Toplady, go, you see? And there was that great storm. I expect you read the history of it. That great storm arose, and the dear man went and sheltered under a rock. It's a firm place, isn't it, a rock? And not only is it a firm place for foundation, but it's a firm place where the sinner can hide. Oh yes. As we have just read to you. A hiding place from the wind. Now, there are many winds that come against the child of God. And there are those that may be coming against you today. But if you're on this rock and sheltering in this rock, poor soul, like dear Mr. Toplady was, it's a safe place. Oh yes, he could shelter there from all the storm, couldn't he? Knowing it was secure. Nothing could touch him. And of course he writes of it spiritually, which is beautiful. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. What about these winds? Well, the wind of Satan. He will huff and he will puff and he'll blow at the child of God, trying to get them off the rock, but he never will. Oh no. They're secure there, you see. They can shelter there. They're safe there. From the winds of Satan. And then there's the wind of the world that would carry us away. You know, we're so carnal, and the Lord will teach this soul that's on the rock, if I know anything about it in any way, he'll teach the sinner how carnal they are so often. And what do we read in Paul's letter to the Romans? To be carnally minded is death. And it brings death in the soul. The more we are carnally minded, we're creatures of the earth. But poor soul, there'll be that wind of self coming. The wind of carnal reasoning. The winds of the world that would carry us away. In our thoughts, it may be in our actions if we're left. And they're satisfied, millions of them today with it, aren't they? And then there are those who are satisfied with just a name of religion. You think of the church of old in the day of the Revelation. When dear John wrote, it was the Lord speaking to the church. Thou hast a name that thou livest, and they lived the name, and yet were dead. solemn thing to be dead in a profession, isn't it? I heard one of the old ministers say years ago that it was better to die in the world than to die in a just a natural profession of religion. You think how solemn, what a solemn delusion. You think of the case of Judas. How close that comes. He was never on the rock, you see. And he perished. And he's in hell to die. Think how solemn. But you see, then there's the winds of unbelief that batter the child of God. But oh, where can they go to shelter from these winds? In this blessed rock, Christ Jesus, the sure foundation stone, a covert from the tempest. There will be many tempests that you have to pass through of trial and affliction and trouble. And there may be those things before you today that really concern you and burden you and exercise. You go, poor soul, to this rock, Christ Jesus. He understands what you need. He can help you in every time of need. He can manage all for you by the way and to the end. In him is pardon from the wind of sin. Oh, to be sheltering in the wounded side of the dear Saviour. Till all the tempests be overpast. You think how many are carried away today, and if we are left for one moment, we're just the same by the wind of sin. If we know our own heart, we shall know what that is within us, the winds of sin. But our poor soul, there's a refuge for sinners that the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. And it's on this rock, you see, the church is built. Christ is the eternal rock on which the church is built. The shepherd of his little flock, the lamb that took our guilt. The Lord is my rock. Be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, today, if the Lord were to so speak this word into one poor soul's heart that they could go out the chapel and they could truly feel this and say it. The Lord is my rock. Well, let me come low. Do you desire to be able to say it? Do you long to be able to say it? Well, the day will come, poor soul, if the Lord has given you that longing and that desire, when you'll be able to say it. Oh yes, he's my rock. There's forgiveness with him that he may be feared. You see, you look at those characters that came and built their hopes for time and for eternity upon the rock, Christ Jesus, while he walked this earth. You look at them, how he had pardon given to them and peace to them. You see, there's no peace without pardon. And it all flows from this rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, it does. Through him alone and through his precious blood. And the shedding of it at Calvary, and I speak it with much reverence. That your pardon might be signed, poor soul, and your peace procured. Then you can truly say, the Lord is my rock. All my hope is fixed upon him. Stayed there, and nothing will move it. And that's a wonderful place to be in. You know, you could lay down and die, couldn't you? There have been many, you know, of God's dear people being so blessed in the house of God, whether it's in the singing of the hymns, whether it's in the reading of the word, or whether it's in the preaching of it, where the Lord has so revealed himself to them as their rock, their salvation, they could have laid down and died. Finish with the earth, you see, on this rock. I think of my late beloved aunt, you know, she went to Cranbrook once and she was in such concern regarding her soul, longing for the Lord to come and to assure her that it was well with her. And the late Mr. Henry Godley preached that night, "For my beloved is mine, and I am his." And, you know, she was so blessed. When the service was over, she said to my grandfather, she said, "I don't want to go out the chapel." She said, "I can just lay down and die." The Lord is my rock. All our hope was stayed on him, you see. Oh, yeah. We hope to sing as the refrain in our closing hymn, though each verse close with those lines on the hymn board. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And you know, when the Lord makes everything else sinking sand to you, the only place you can cling is to a rock, isn't it? You know, many have come near their end in the sea around this country and they've had to cling on to a rock as the sea rages, the place of safety. We sing in one of the hymns, don't we, "All my safety is in thee." Oh, I cannot emphasize enough really this morning the great need, and I preach it to myself, I feel it more and more. The need to be upon the rock, Christ Jesus. The sure foundation stone. I know what many will say, well, we can't really lay claim to be able to say, "On Christ the solid rock I stand." But can you not sing it in sweet desire? And can you not sing it in sweet hope to be found upon that rock? And if the Lord sweetly give you the desire for it and the hope of it, it'll be precious to you. Amen.